All right, Ephesians chapter 5, we're just going to begin reading verse 8 and read three verses. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning, reminded that the reason we're here is because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin. Father, I pray this morning that as we look to you and seek your face, that you would guide and direct in the words that I share, and also, Father, that you would speak to the hearts that are here. Help us to glean something this morning that we might be able to take with us and be able to use as soldiers in the Lord's army. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this opportunity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we think about this, and this passage is written to Christians, okay? So once you've been saved and you put your faith and trust in Christ, then you learn, or basically you're commanded in this passage to walk as children of light, or walk in the light. And that's what the Lord wants to do in each one of our lives. He wants to take us from what we were, sinners, and when we put our faith and trust in Him, to make us saints or holy, that we're there in His image. We were made in His image, but because of sin that has changed, and now we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we have that relationship restored to God, and now He wants to do something in our lives. He calls us to be holy, and the only way we can learn how to do that is by reading and studying the Word of God. Because there's a reason we're here. The reason we're here is not just to work and eat and drink and be merry and live the life. The reason we're here is to really show others the light of Jesus Christ. That is our sole purpose. And to do that is to learn how to walk in the light so we can be that light that God has called us to be. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And this morning, as we think about that, walking in the light is contrary to walking in darkness. And we want to walk in the light. And to know that is to know what Christ has for us. This morning, I've entitled the message simply, Children of Light. Children of Light. As we see in verse 8 of chapter 5, as Paul is writing and he's walking to writing to the believer, he says in verse 1, he says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." Be followers of God as dear children. And we know that the Bible teaches, "But as many received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." So to be a child of God requires that you receive Christ as your Savior. And when you are, then you can follow and you can learn and grow as God has given us the ability through the Spirit of God and the Word of God to know exactly what He wants us to do. In verse 8 he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." I can remember the time before I was saved that I was walking in darkness. I listened to the world's philosophy. I believed the world's philosophy. I lived like the world's philosophy. But when I got saved, God started doing work in my heart, in my life, and started changing me. And we know the Bible teaches that He wants to change us because we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is the goal. And I'm a long way from it. And most of us in this room would say amen to that as well. But we are on the path. And that's what we want to make sure, is that we're on the right path. Because sometimes we get tripped up and our light gets a little dim. And we don't want that, because a dim light is not going to guide us and direct us as we need to be guided and directed. It's not going to be a help for others as well. In the Old Testament, darkness was used to depict man's moral depravity many times. In Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Today, we see that happening in our country. Sin is called good. Decency and right are called wrong. We see that in the different agendas being put out. I was reading an article. They don't want us to call it pro-life anymore. They want us to call it anti-abortion. They want to be pro-choice. Well, I think it should be really different. Pro-life an anti, or excuse me, murder is what they're doing, basically. We're anti-murder, but they're murder. And so it's how they put the words and how they word things. They're trying to put a slant on it to make it sound like those who believe that the child in the womb is really a child and should not be destroyed, and really that what they want is control, they say, over their bodies. They want to live in sin and not reap the consequences of it, or try not to. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, it says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Really, this is talking about tribulation. There will be dark days on this earth. And I think about those days. I'm glad I won't have to suffer through those days. Amen. In the New Testament, we see that often darkness is used as a sign of sin and spiritual ignorance. Jesus, when he was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, he says, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" In other words, if our priorities are wrong, if we're living for self, it's going to affect our whole lives. And we can live a life, even as a Christian, in darkness. Today, I believe there are many people who have professed salvation and put their faith and trust in Christ, and through neglect of reading the Word of God, through being discipled or whatever, they're walking in darkness because they don't know what the Word of God says. They're not looking at the light. They're not looking for the help. Now, I'm not the one who knows who's saved and who's not. God does. But I think a saved person should have fruit in their life, as the Bible teaches in John chapter 15. And so as we study the Bible, this is our goal, this is our desire, is not to let darkness enter into our lives. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, "This then is the message which ye have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him," talking about God, "and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." In other words, if we're living a life in sin and we say we're walking with Christ, we're telling a lie if we know we're doing wrong. "We're for to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not," it is sin. Right. And so as we think about that, many times darkness stands for God's punishment. In Matthew chapter 8, when he was talking to the centurion and the centurion's faith, he remarked in the last couple of verses, he says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Out of darkness. He said the same thing basically when he talked about the wedding. When they folks who were invited would not come in Matthew chapter 22, and he sent out people into the hedges and highways to bring them in, and many of them didn't have on the wedding garment. The wedding garment represents salvation. And so those that didn't have the wedding garment, they cast them into outer darkness. Today, I don't want to be in darkness. I don't want to follow that which is not right. I don't want to, but the things that I should do, I don't do, right? The things that I don't do are the things I should do. We have the battle of the flesh, and it's always going to be there. But how do we overcome that? By surrendering ourselves to the Lord. When we find out there's something that's not right, we come to God on His terms. Just like we did for salvation, we confess it. He's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, He says. In our chapter today, he said, ye were sometimes darkness. But look what he says after that. And I always like that little word that begins with the B-U-T. I always love that word because it tells me I'm going this way, and then you throw that word in, and it stops me in my tracks, and it turns me around and goes the other way. I love that verse when it goes the right way. In this case, it does. It tells us, "But now ye are light in the Lord." Think about that. Ye are light in the Lord. You're different. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." There's a difference. There's a difference just as night and day. The day I accepted Christ as my Savior, I knew there was a difference. Not before, the first time I tried to accept Christ, but when I actually accepted Him, there was a difference. It was the difference between light and darkness. It was the difference between life and death. Light denotes life. We think about Elihu. He's sharing with Job. He said this in Job chapter 33. Says, "He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not," he's talking about repentance here, "he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oft times with men to bring back his soul from the pit to be enlightened with the living of the living." In other words, though a man be a sinner and be doomed, if he will repent of that, God in his mercy and grace will take that person and change him. And he'll have light in his life. He'll be changed from darkness to light. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, "And in him was life," talking about Jesus, "and the life was the light of men." Psalm 56:13, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" That's what we want, is the light, isn't it? "A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Light speaks of God's blessings. Psalm 4:6, "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." That word countenance there means face. We want the face of God upon us. The blessings of God. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God has given us the light to show us and direct us into His Word, into His understanding, into His presence, if you will. In fact, nobody will be in God's presence without the light. Light represents salvation. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning, verse 5 says, "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." When Paul, he was out and he was witnessing, he said in Acts 26:18 that his responsibility was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The light represents salvation. The light is a symbol of moral purity. In 1 John 1:5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." God is pure. He's holy. In this verse, he tells us, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord." So, salvation. Once you were lost, now you're saved. What's the next thing? He says, walk. Walk as children of light. Do you see the progression? It's just the way it is laid out in the Bible. First, you're a sinner lost on your way to hell. And the fact is, and it's because of your sin. And you can't do anything about your sin, by the way. There's nothing you can do. Only God can do that through Jesus Christ. But then when you receive Christ as your Savior, all of a sudden He changes you from that lost sinner to a saint on his way to heaven with Him. But then He tells us, "I'm not taking you yet right now. I'm going to just leave you here for a little while." God, what's up with that? "I'm ready." "Come on, let's go." No. He says, "I want you to learn to walk as children of light. I want you to learn to be like me. I want you to understand what it is." And that is that we learn to follow Him. And the only way we can do that is getting our nose and our eyes in this book and studying it out to find out what is the direction God would have me to have. There is a specific direction, a general direction, and yes, there is a specific direction, but then there's the specific for each individual. And God reveals that to us as we continue to study the Word of God and as we lean not unto our own understanding, but trust Him to guide us. We are the children of light. And we're to walk as children of light. The directive to walk as children of light, that's a metaphor. Walking is a metaphor. It's used many times for the Christian life in the Bible. Many times you can see that. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For ye For we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, you see that metaphor of walking by faith. And of course, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's what we don't necessarily know what the next step is. And we build that faith by taking the step that God reveals to us. And we take that step like that lamp is a light unto our feet. We're right there. We know where we're at. He's going to light the next step or light the path for us to take that next step. And that's faith. We say, okay, I'm going to take it. I don't understand everything about it, but I'm going to take it. When I decided, well, the Lord led me to go to Bible college, hey, that was not something I came up with in my own little head. Because I wasn't planning on doing any of that stuff. But he started, as I got saved 4 years later, as I was studying the Word of God and listening to it, I realized that I needed to know more about the Bible. And that's what led me to Bible college. I didn't even know how I was going to pay for it. In fact, I went to my boss and said, I'm quitting. He says, you're quitting? I said, yes. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Bible college, and they don't have night classes. So I got to go during the day. And that's when he told me, he said, well, you go tell me what the classes you're taking, and we'll see if we can work something out. And I gave him the schedule my first semester. He said, go for it. And I knew then that God was using my boss, who was a lost man, to allow me to take those steps that he's called me to do. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to be taken care of, but God provided all the way through that. And all six of my children, he's got 1 year, right? Promise, 1 year left? Okay. All six of my children have gone to Bible college. And that's God's grace. It's not my paycheck. I guarantee you. But see, that's what we learn, is to learn to walk in light by faith. He also tells us to walk in newness of life. You know, when you get saved, you're not like you were anymore. Now, if you're like me, I ran home that night on October 26, 1992. I was 36 years old. I went in the mirror and I looked hard. And I kept looking in that mirror and I said, you look the same. You're still bald-headed. You're still kind of round. I won't say fat, but round. I said, what happened? And I was looking in the mirror and it's like God said, it's on the inside, Debbie. And I realized that something had changed. And it was different. My desires were different. And that was prior to going to Bible college, obviously. But that's when things started to move in my life and change me from what my direction was. It's a newness of life. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So it's a walk that we're to do by faith. It's a walk in newness of life. It's a walk with a purpose. We're given a purpose. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. You're right there. I want you to look at verse 15. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That is what God wants us to do. Is our purpose is to find out what God's will is. And how do you find that out? You find out by when you study the Bible, you see something that God has told you to do or shared with you to do, then you go do it. You're in the will of God. I tell children many times, if you will just obey your parents, you'll be in the will of God. That's all you got to do. You don't have to worry about everything else. Just obey your parents. We as big kids, we got more responsibility in that because we read the Bible and study, and you will too as you continue to learn. But we grow and see things in there, and all of a sudden it changes us. It changes the way we dress. It changes the words we say. It will even change the people you hang out with. My best friend was my brother-in-law, Randy Siegel, and my sister. We used to have a lot of fun together. But when I got saved, we didn't have that fun anymore. Why? Because I couldn't do the things that we used to do. It changes us. You move away from that. Now, do I hate Randy? No. Do I hate myself? No. I love them. But I don't spend fellowship with them because why? We're contrary. What do I want to talk about? The Bible. What do they want to talk about? Everything else. It changes your perspective on things. Yes, I love them. Yes, I care for them. Yes, I'd love to see them saved. And I continue to pray for them and also share with them when I have the opportunity. But we have a purpose. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's given us a purpose. We're His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I was working on a message for good works, and I just couldn't get there. We will get there someday. But He also were to walk to please the Lord. Colossians 1:10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants us to increase in the knowledge. And to increase in the knowledge is to be in church, to be in Sunday school, to be in the Word of God, and ask Him to give you the wisdom and the understanding that He wants to give you. It's all here. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, you can ask God and He'll give it to you liberally in James. He wants to do that. Walking always indicates a forward direction. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's a direction that we have in this purpose. There's a determination we have, and there is a destination that we have. And God has revealed it to us in this passage this morning. The direction, He says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's our direction. To have the fruit of the Spirit and understanding that it is all goodness and righteousness and truth. To know the truth and to live that life that God's called us to live. Now, nobody in this room is righteous apart from Christ. You can't be. My righteousness is as filthy rags in Isaiah chapter 64. It tells us. It's becoming what God wants us to be. That is our direction. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Just turn back a page if you have a Bible like mine, or maybe two pages if you have a different one. But look at verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 4. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Now he's talking about the walk of the believer here. Let's begin verse 17. This I say therefore, testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It's all about the heart, isn't it? Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. He's talking to Christians. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's our direction. The direction is not a new leaf being turned over. It's not getting cleaned up. It's not just changing your mind, but it is a new nature altogether. We change our minds about a lot of things, don't we? January 1st comes, I'm going to lose some weight. I like the one I always like is, next Monday I'm going to exercise. Monday comes and it's Tuesday. So, well, next Monday I'm going to start exercising. It's something about that, you know, hitting that mark on Monday, or when the alarm clock goes off and you say, I'll get up exactly at 15 after. And you sleep through that or something because you didn't get reminded. But anyway, it's funny how we think. And we know it's not a physical act, this direction. Galatians 6:15, it does lead to a physical act. But for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new nature. It's a transformation. According to Ephesians 2:8 and 10, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. But it is entirely by a new birth. That's what takes place, is a new birth. It's being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So as we look at this direction in our life, it's talking about the goodness and righteousness and truth. We're to walk as children of light. Why? Because we have the light in our lives. We've accepted Christ. It's a new insight to the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 16, he says, "But the natural man," that's the lost, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Right this morning in your lap, you have the mind of Christ. It's right here. You know, it's funny, I've done this many times. I wonder what God would think about that. I'm waiting for the voice to come out and say, "Don't you know?" or something like that. Doesn't work that way, does it? What does God think about that? He tells me right here what he thinks about it. So our direction, goodness and righteousness and truth, how do we get that? It's through the Word of God. Our determination is to prove what is acceptable. Look at verse 10 of chapter 5. He says, "Proving what is acceptable unto him." What does that mean, proving, that testing? What does that mean for us? That means I don't understand everything, but when it says that God will bless it, just do it and see if it works. And I promise you, if you do it his way, it will always work. Even when we do it his way sometimes and we're a little hesitant about it, maybe we don't do it all the way, he'll still pull us along and help us. What happens when you prove the Word of God? Your faith increases. Every time you take a step, your faith increases. Every time you look at the light, that lamp that's lighting your feet, and you take that step where the light is lighting your path, oh, wow. I didn't sink, I didn't fall, I didn't get hurt. I'll try one more time. Hey, things are going okay. And you keep stepping as the Lord moves you, as you look to Jesus. It will transform your life. And you know what? One day you'll look back and go, "Did I walk all those steps?" Sort of like the mountain thing, you know. You look at the mountain, the first thing says, "I can't make that. I can't do that." And the Lord says, "Just come on, I'll show you. Take this one step." Okay. "Well, that wasn't too far." "Well, that's all you could take." "So take another step." "Okay. Wow, that's double what I..." "Well, take another and take another." And then when you get to the top of the mountain, you look down and say, "Whoa, that was a long way. How'd I get up here?" One step at a time. That's what God wants to do in our lives. We are children of light. And he wants us to walk in the light. It means to be ready for that test. Some verses we've memorized, Acts 17:11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things be so." They were testing the scriptures to see if they were true. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's what he wants us to do. Often Christians, myself included, act without proper discretion. Look at verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." A lot of times we'll step in that darkness and we'll allow ourselves to be influenced by it. And when we do that, it's not just taking a step back, but it's taking, and we really, if we get right with God, we realize how dirty we get sometimes. Now, I'm not talking about encouraging people to be saved and witnessing to people. I'm talking about acting like them and following them, taking their advice, if it's ungodly advice. It happens. And we find ourselves in this place. He said, verse 12, he says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Some of the things we mention sometimes, we probably shouldn't talk about at all. Of course, James warns us this well. I'm not going to go there this morning for the sake of time. You can jot that down if you're taking notes. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. Go look that up. So we must have a determination to seek God's unchanging standard. Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid my heart so I can do whatever I want." Isn't that why we do it? Sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? No, that we might not sin against God, Him. That's right. That's why it's important to study the Word of God. It's important to memorize the Word of God. The Word of God for a Christian is his roadmap to life. There is nothing else that's more important for a Christian than looking at the roadmap. You know, I don't know about you, but I've had the GPS on. Sometimes that GPS doesn't tell you exactly right. I don't know if you ever experienced that. End up down a dead-end road or something like that. You go to Hickory, North Carolina, we actually have roads that go, and then there's like a creek or something, and you have to go all the way around to get to the other end of it, so it's cut right in the middle, and so you have to turn around. But that happens, I guess. But the Word of God will never do that to you. It will put you on the right path, and it will be a path that is solid and sure every time, even through the trials and the tests and the temptations that we go through. We've been sharing Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It dawned on me one day when I was looking at that verse, there's a twofold purpose there of God's word. The lamp unto my feet. That reveals where we're at right now. We see the light and there it is. We're looking at where we're at right now. And God is guiding us to that point. We're there. We're in the light. We're walking right there. We walk to this point. It's a lamp unto my feet. I can look down and I can see that what's going on. But it's also the light unto my path. That's the future steps. He does that. And he doesn't light the whole path. When I went to Bible college, I didn't know how long it was going to take me to get through there. I had a plan, but God had a different plan. I had a family to take care of, for one. But it took me 7 years. It's a long time. Matt, you done it in 4, didn't you? Plus, you got a 4-year degree. I only had a 3, theological degree. We don't always know. But we know that we don't want to stumble in darkness. So we need to be determined. But also we need the direction, or we talked about the direction there and the determination, but we need a destination. The destination is to be the light. Look at verse 13 and 17 here in our passage. He says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And that word manifest means declared. Okay, or revealed in a sense. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So here's our destination, is to be that light, to have that purpose, to know that we're to redeem that time. 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. We're different, it tells me. We're kind of peculiar. We're a holy nation. Now, this has the tendency of speaking to the Jewish nation, as Peter, I believe, has written. But these things pertain to us as Christians as well. We're a royal priesthood. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16 says, ye are the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? Donald Trump. No, don't think so. It's got to be somebody else. Who is it? He says, ye. Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount to those there that are listening to him, and he's talking about those that will put their faith and trust in Christ. They are the light of the world. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I don't know how this is going to work. It's not going to work the way I want it to work, but we're going to try it anyway. Anybody know what this is? Flashlight. That's right. You're good. It's an LED too, so that's pretty good. If I take the batteries out of here, that would be the implication that it doesn't have the power to come alive. Okay? That would be implying that as a Christian, or not a Christian, but as a person, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. Okay? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm just not going to take the battery out. I'm just leaving it off. Okay? But if you didn't have the batteries in here, that would be the implication would be, and the analogy is, a person without the Spirit of God. But then you have the person that has the Spirit of God. But the problem is, they're not shining brightly. Why is that? They got the Spirit of God. It's because they're not walking in the light. They're walking contrary to the light. But those that are seeking the Lord, and I'm not talking about perfection in any shape, way, or form. And that word perfection in the Bible always means fullness or completeness. Okay, completing. And that comes with time, growing grace, right? But when we're studying the Word of God in our Bibles, we're faithful to the things of God, church, and our ministries. We're faithful to be witnesses of Christ. Then our light shines. Then they can see. There's a difference. We're not like them anymore because they don't have this. We got it. They don't have it. And that's what God wants us to do, is to let our light shine. Our destination is to be with Christ. We know that. In verse 27, our passage, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is what our goal is as Christians, is to learn and trust God to the point where we're different, that people see us and they know we're not like everybody else. And I got a long way to go. Got a long way to go, but I'm on the path. And I'm trying to find out what God wants me to do. Every single time I go to the Word of God, He shows me something. I'm amazed. As I study sermons, I'm usually end up somewhere else. But that's what God does. He wants to guide us and direct us. And we get to choose whether we're going to do it today. My first question to you, do you have the light? Has it been a time in your life when you accepted Christ as your Savior? You know without a shadow of a doubt because of the relationship you have. And you will know it. It's not something that you guess about. Now, I know it's a little difficult for children to understand that. And so we want to watch our children and see what's going on in their life because there will be fruit. But if you don't know for sure, especially adults, you need to check it up and find out. But if you have the light, are you walking in the light? Are you really trying to find out what God wants you to do, or are you just moping along? Lights covered up, dim, not really, not looking to the Lord and finding out really what He wants me to do. He tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll take care of all the rest. And all these things shall be added unto you. Today, I hope you're not either one of those. I hope you're the one that is born again and your light is shining. And people see there's a difference. And you have opportunity to tell them about your Lord and your God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your love for us. We thank You for the Word of God. And we pray that we would each one have that desire to let our light so shine. Father, I pray You just speak to hearts today. If anybody here knows for sure they're not saved, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Father, if there's a Christian here that's maybe struggling in some areas of their lives and they know it, and they're just not wanting to surrender that, I pray today would be the day that they would surrender. And Father, for those that are walking in light, I just thank You for that. I pray You continue to guide and direct so we won't let our light become dim, but we continue to do what we're doing. We thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen.